Good evening.
That was kind of lame. Good evening. All right, good. So you guys ready to run? That does not sound like you're ready to run. I am high energy. So you guys ready to run? All right. I want to show you a picture I took when I was in California. I came outside this church and I thought it was like, man, it's kind of cool. I actually took this picture and I just thought, show it up. If you would, put it up on the side screens for me so I can point at it. Well, if not, can you see the... I literally walked out the front of the church and was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And just took that picture. I told you this morning, air traffic controller, so I like airplanes. Have you ever heard of the F-117, the stealth, the first stealth aircraft? Well, there's a place in Arizona that when they retire the planes, they put them out there. It's an airplane graveyard. They put the first stealth aircraft in their airplane graveyard, and I got a picture of it. And can I show it to you? All right. I was just kind of like, yes, this is awesome. So first stealth aircraft, F-117. Get it? Come on, man. That's pretty good. All right. Well, hey, remember, this Friday, Saturday, and then the following Monday, that's when the zoo thing is. If you guys want to join us, if you're free, Friday, Saturday, we're doing the conference. The talk titles and everything are on that paper that are over there. Please take advantage of it. Monday is when we'll meet you at the zoo, and come be a part of it. And we'll love to share fun information about the animals and how you can actually use them to bring glory to God. How many of y'all have our app? Anybody got our app? That's not acceptable. The rest of you, how many of you have a smartphone? Yeah, I'm shocked. There's some hands not going up. Those of you with a smartphone, take it out. I'm going to show you how to get our app absolutely, totally free. I'm not trying to nickel and dime you. It's going to be totally free. We've got a program where we're running called One More Matters, and we really believe that One More Matters. And so in order to reach the folks like this, I want to put tools in your hands. So smartphone looks like this on a real phone. Go to that green icon, and it'll take you to your messaging app. You're going to send a message. It looks like this. After you hit the green button, hit that, and it's going to take you to where you can send the message. Now, the message is going to be sent to, very simple, 51555. The message reads, very easy, all you got to write is OMM space Carl. One More Matters. Space Carl. So 51555, OM Carl. When you send that message, you're going to get an immediate response back, okay? It'll have a link on there. When you hit that link, it will take you to this landing page. Scroll down the landing page, and right there is the sign-up form. You put that in there, and that's going to get you the future debunked videos and that sort of a thing. We'll get them to you before we ever release it to the general public. And then, as you scroll down, you'll see there's a link right here for Get the App. And it works for Apple and it works for that other thing. I don't know what that really is, but it works. And you just hit that, it'll take you to where you can download the app free of charge. If you want to just go to your app store, just search for R-F-O-R-H. Hours, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you hours of content on there absolutely free of charge. Highly encourage you to take a look at the debunked video section. That's the white icon, white background with a paint splotch with a D in it. Animated, fast-paced videos dealing with topics that we're seeing in the world today. And Debunk TV, 28-minute programs that flesh out the 5-minute, 3 to 5-minute videos. So it's all free tools. And there's a children's section on there with art lessons. If you have children that like art, go down to Just for Kids. And draw it and know it. There's over 30 art lessons on there on how to draw this animal, but then to teach about that animal so that you can bring glory to God. So it's a tool that I want to put in your hands so that you will feel comfortable to do what I'm going to try and challenge you to do tonight. So here we go. This is different, I admit it, but I'm going to tell you. It's 10 things I learned on evangelism from an atheist. So I understand, brother. I carry mine with me. I have extra pairs all over the place because I can't see anything up close anymore. Acts 18:9 is where I'm going to kick off this evening. And it says this, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent.' May I say to you this evening that the same God that spoke to Paul is the same God that's speaking to us today, and I think he's telling us the same thing. Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent." Anybody remember how many churches I told you this morning across the nation of America? Over 400,000 churches across the nation of America. 400 plus thousand churches. And Christianity is almost invisible in our culture. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. He goes on and he says this, "For I am with you and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, I want to put this into context for us, guys, because think about who was being spoken to here and what was said. Go into the city. Don't be afraid. Keep speaking. Talking to Paul, where was he headed? He was headed into a town called Corinth, right? Now, Corinth, back in the day, was an amazing place. It was a city right at the base of the mountains right there. Now, this is kind of interesting. When you look, why was it such a popular and big city back in the day? Because if you look just a little bit to the left, there, you'll see a line that runs across there. Let's take a look at the satellite image. And this is literally carved out so that they could drag the boats through there. So instead of having to go all the way around the continent, they would come up on one side. All the boatmen would get off the boat, go into Corinth. That's why it was such an important town. They would spend the day in Corinth partying, because it was a party town, while they drug the boat through that canal to the other side. Then the boatmen would come back, get on the boat, and keep on going. It was a bustling place. It was a place where if you wanted to get information out across the land quickly, this was the place, because everybody's there. They get on a boat, they go to another place. Now today you go and you look at it and you're like, okay, it's not very much. It's still pretty cool, but it's not anything like it used to be back in the day. But you could see what it used to be. There, like this structure right here, there, back in the day there were 17 of those pillars that went back. 17 pillars. I mean, it was an amazing thing. So this is where Paul is headed. A tough town, by the way. Do not be afraid. Speak. Do not keep silent. Acts 18:12, he did what he was told to do. He did it for a year and a half, because look what's said here. "And when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal." There's another word, if you read King James, that's used there. They brought him before the judgment seat. Interesting word. The real word is bema. And if you want to understand what the bema is, you have to come with me to Athens. Athens is amazing. When you go down to, into the marketplace in Athens, in the Agora, you're going to find this right here, the bema. It's the original speaker's platform. And it's just a marble stone about yay wide, yay, you know, and about, oh, about that tall. But here's what was so special about that piece of marble. Every Greek citizen had the right to get up on that and to speak their piece. But there were a couple of restrictions. When you got up on the bema, there was a jar off to the side that there was a, they would fill it with water and it had a spigot. They'd pull the plug and the water would start dripping. And when the last drop dripped, you were done. I don't care if you're in the middle of a sentence or not. So you had to learn how to formulate your thoughts and do them in a very specific amount of time. By the way, Bunny Trail, have any of you ever been to Athens? Been up to Mars Hill? Nobody? If you can go, go. I mean it. I loved it. I loved Greece. I loved going through that. At the base of Mars Hill, there used to be only one way up. They put up some steps the other way, but they have a plaque that's put up on the base of Mars Hill, and it's all in very ancient Greek. And if you can read that, which we can, at least I can, our tour guide could. All the Greek citizens were shocked. They were stopping and listening to him read this because it's an ancient Greek, and they're like, "You can read that? Read it again." He read it like four times for the Greeks. And guess what it was? "For I see that you're a very religious people." Anybody ever hear that? Paul, when he was down in the marketplace and he's going after and he's seeing all these gods and the people came and said, "Hey, we got to take you up to Mars Hill so that you can deal with the really smart people." And it's literally the Bible verse, the New Testament verse. And what's cool about it is that if you time it, that's exactly the amount of time that the water clock dripped. Second piece. You better know what you're talking about when you got up on the rock. Because if what you said turned out to not be true, you could be put to death. So you better know what you're saying when you get up there. Well, the bema, the judgment seat, is very different. Speaker's platform is very different in Corinth. And this is it there. It's a big old structure. It's taller than your stage here. I mean, it came up to like here on me. It was a big thing. What happened? The Romans came into town. And when the Romans came into town, they changed everything. And instead of the bema being this place of come, let us reason together, it became a place of judgment. I told you this was a tough town. You cannot stand looking at that bema and turn 15 degrees and not see another idol to another god. This was a tough place. This is where Paul was standing. By the way, can you see the mountain in the background there? Can you see the mountain? Remember, questions require responses. You guys got to get with me here. Can you see the mountain? Yes. Let's scroll up to the top. Can you see the bumps on the top of the mountain? Yes. That is to the temple of the goddess of love. I told you this was a tough town. Between 3,000 to 5,000 temple prostitutes, male and female, every day came out of the temple down into the city to find worshipers. This is why the boatmen loved to go there. And they would go back up to the top of the mountain and worship the goddess of love. You know what I'm talking about. Guys, on the bottom of their shoe, there was an arrow carved in it. And there was a Greek character on there that said, follow me. Did somebody else say that? Didn't somebody else tell us that? Do you understand in that simple two-word phrase that God was attacking some of the sickest stuff going on in the culture? Choose you this day whom you're going to follow. Because they would leave in the sand, they would leave that imprint so the sailors could come, see the direction they were walking to find them. This was a tough town. So Paul is standing up here big and tall, and this is what he sees going on around him. And it's, I mean, you go up there, it truly is amazing what they could do. So Gallio, he's standing up in front of the tribunal, the judgment seat, the bema, saying this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. This is personal. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, you are looking at probably one of the most defensive people you will ever meet in your life. If there's something that you don't like about me, and you say it to me, I will have a reason why I do it, and if I don't, I'll have an excuse, and I'll make one up quick, because I'm good at it. I've been doing it for a long time. Very defensive. You know, one of the things that struck me as I read this is personal. Who is the best person to defend our quote-unquote honor? Because you can't tell me in a room with this many people that somebody in here isn't going through something where somebody is making false accusations or making some statements about you, your character, your motivations. Who's the best person to defend your honor? Not me, not my mouth, him. Call me what you want, say whatever you want. I just want to be called obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to get to that stage where we quit letting the words of people put us into these tailspins so many times. So many people dealing with mental health issues and, oh, they don't like me, especially the younger generation. I mean, come on. Your value has nothing to do with what any of your peers think about you. It has everything to do with what Jesus Christ did for you. He was about to open his mouth, and Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crimes, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions and words and names of your own law, see to it yourselves, I refuse to be a judge of these things. And he drove them away. Paul didn't say a word. And I got drove away. But it didn't stop there. Now here's something interesting. I told you this was a tough town. In front of that bema to this day, there's this pillar. And that pillar, when you walk up to it, is the perfect circumference for you to wrap your arms around. And on the back side of that pillar, there's a hole. And in that hole, there used to be an iron ring so that they could tie your hands there so they could beat you. This is where Paul is standing. This is what he's seeing. This was a tough town. So what in the world can we learn on evangelism from an atheist? Well, let me introduce you to the atheist. His name is Penn Jillette. I don't know if you are familiar, amazing illusionist. I'm going to tell you right now, amazing illusionist. I love Penn and Teller as far as their illusions go. They do one that is so cool. I'll encourage you to go look it up. I'm sure if you did a Google, YouTube search, you'd find Penn and Teller and Trick Revealed. And they literally will take you probably one of the oldest magic tricks going, where they put the ball here, they take it out, it appears here, then it's here, then there's two. And it's like this, it's just a typical routine, right? And they go through it and they're talking you through it. They're telling you exactly what they're doing. And you're like, I cannot catch this. So let me show you how we do it. They replace the cups that you can't see through with clear cups. And then they talk you through the whole process and they're doing it. And you're still like, wow, it's cool. They're good. Penn is an ardent atheist. I mean, a nasty atheist. His license plate on his car is doggone, no God, spelled backwards intentionally. Written numerous books, God, no, and all that type of a thing. Recorded a video a number of years ago for the blasphemy challenge. Yes, there is such a thing where you can go on the internet, upload your video denouncing the Holy Spirit so you can party in hell forever with Mr. Penn. You with me? Doesn't like us very much. So why would I give him the time of day? Because a number of years ago, some young people contacted me and they said, I don't know how to deal with this. They had a TV show on Showtime. I can't tell you the title because it was profanity. So why are you watching it? I didn't. But these young people were. And he did three programs, I think it was, at least two, where he attacked the Bible, just mocked and ridiculed it, and attacked Christians and creationists, I should say. Well, I am one and I love the other. So these young people sent me, how do I deal with this? So I got the DVDs. And I took 3 months of my life going through, breaking down the pieces, made the presentations, because you were looking at King of Defensive. 3 months, I built the talk to respond back to this. I didn't like this guy at all. This is what he had to say about the Bible. Audio? Please leave it on. That is more fiction than fact. When I got done watching this for 3 months of his nastiness, probably every fifth or sixth word, profanity, I said to myself, Matthew 7:6, do not throw what is holy before swine. Dude wants to be a pig? Roll around in the mud, bro. You go for it. And I was dead wrong. How many times has Jesus forgiven me? Right? I've got to tell you that what I have experienced in my own life, I'm not chucking stones at you, this is me. I'm just bearing me. Many times I find that I get mean and nasty and want to cut off because it's a whole lot easier to deal that way than to try to stick it out and deal with the hard stuff. It's so much easier to just cut it off. You want to be an idiot? Go be an idiot. Instead of loving somebody enough to be there in the hard part. That's me. God's forgiven me and I'm kicking him to the curb? I don't like him. I mean, listen to what he says.
It's fair to say the Bible contains equal amounts of fact, history, and pizza.
I don't like this man, but Jesus Christ loves this man. And he loves him so much that he came and he died on a cross for him while he's mocking and ridiculing. Very good friend of mine passed away 12 years ago. He sent me a video. He did not know I'd spent 3 months of my life making a response to this mess. Didn't know it. He sent me a blank, just a generic email and said, Carl, you have to watch this video. That's all it said. I did. And I learned 10 things on evangelism from an atheist. Because the video was Mr. Penn. It's an old video. Some of you may have seen it. I had not. And it's Mr. Penn sharing a story about a man who came up and gave him a gift. So let's work through it. If you're a note taker, I would highly encourage you to get your pen and paper ready, because I'm going to give you 10 things. And I would tell you to, if you'd like, take it and make it you.
And at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position. After I was all done, big guy, probably about my age. Big guy.
No, it was not me. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that it would not have been me, because at that stage, I was shaking the dust off my feet. Dude's a big pig, wants to roll around in the mud, right? He keeps going.
And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. I wanted, and he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff.
All right. First thing I learned on evangelism from an atheist. This is what I got out of it. He made the statement that he was there the night before. So what does that mean about the man that came back and gave him the gift? He came back. Think about it. That guy had to come back. He had been at the show the night before. He cared enough. He went back. He came back the next night. Waited till the show was done. Stood out there. Waited till all the people that wanted the autograph were done to have this conversation. He cared that much. Acts 15:36, I read this, and it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Many of you in here, you've been doing ministry. Guess what? You have a responsibility to those that you have poured into to go back to see how they're doing. I taught Sunday school for 35 years. I'm done. I did my time. It's a prison sentence? What a blessing it is that we have the opportunity to serve. Change our perspective. You're not done. If you're breathing in here, you're not done. You have a ministry. You have opportunity. God has placed you somewhere. Point number two, he said nice stuff. He was nice. Isn't this like crazy that something as simple as being nice can have an impact? Boy, I tell young people this all the time. You want to stand out in our culture today? I told you, probably 60 to 70% of what I do is with younger generation, high school and below. And I tell them, you want to stand out in this culture? You do not need purple hair. You do not need a mohawk. You do not need to walk around half naked. That's what the world does. That's the world. You really want to be radical? Be nice. Be polite. Be kind. I can't believe this. I opened the door for a lady about a while back. I opened the door for a lady and she just walks up and looks at me. It's like, people still do that? Yeah? Wow. You want to stand out? You don't have to be an idiot. That's normal. Idiots are normal. Proverbs 19:22, the desire of a man is his kindness, not his ability to pull himself up by his own bootstraps and all. A man's man, you hurt me, I knock you out. You know, no. God is telling us that kindness. In Ephesians 4:15, I wish I could stop that verse right there. Rather speaking the truth. That's it, bro. I like that. I'm going to go speak the truth. That done ticked me off. I'm speaking the truth. There's just one problem. When I do it that way, I'm not doing it the way that the rest of the verse says to do it. Because the rest of the verse says what? Speaking the truth. But it says to speak the truth. Do not water down the word of God. Do not compromise the word of God. Do not change it to try to make it palatable to a world that is dead. They need life. His word is life. So we don't try to market it. We're to speak it. And by the way, that word speak in the Greek, it means a whole lot more than just our words. It's more than talking. It means radiating or broadcasting love in all that we do, not just verbalizing. Matter of fact, if you look up the word conversation in an 1828 dictionary, by the way, second best tool I can give you. Go to your app store, look for the 1828 dictionary. There's going to be a free version on there. If you really want to know what words mean, you better go back and get as close as you can to the original meaning, because the words are changing. You want to see evolution in our world? There's only one place you're going to see evolution, not in reality, but in words. 1828 dictionary, conversation is not just speaking. It's our whole life. It's our deportment. It's how we carry ourselves. That's what God's calling us for. Truth without love is harsh. Love without truth is mute and mushy. We need them both.
And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know.
I played this clip in big churches and had people start chuckling. What a goof. Dude's making fun of the Bible, and he doesn't even know the Psalms isn't in the New Testament. What a goof! Well, point number three, don't mock. Maybe he misspoke. Have any of you ever misspoken? If your hand doesn't go up, you're lying. We've all misspoken. And you know one of the worst things about what I do? Most of the time, I'm recorded. So when I misspeak, people play it back for me. Well, you said this. Well, that's because I'm a bonehead and I blew it. We're all going to misspeak. But guess what? Maybe he doesn't know the Psalms isn't in the New Testament, but he's not the enemy. He's the one that Christ died for. 1 Peter 2:12. And it tells us, keeping your conduct among the who? Keeping your conduct among the Calvary Chapel Honolulu brethren. Honorable, right? Keeping your conduct among those that are nice to you. Honorable, right? That's not what it says. Who are we to keep our conduct honorable to? The ones that are mocking, the ones that are ridiculing, the ones that are attacking, the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. I want you to imagine with me, Carl's feeling froggy. I go to the airport, spend a lot of time in airports. There's Mr. Penn. Oh, I'm going to set him straight. I'm speaking the truth. And I walk up to him. He's big. He's like 6'8". You are a goof. You're making fun of the Bible. You don't even know the Psalms isn't in the New Testament. You goof. You know what Mr. Penn could do to me? Other than pound me? He could pull out the book that he was given. Have you ever heard of the Gideons? Anybody? Gideons? If you're the Gideons? You know they hand out a lot of Bibles. And one version that they hand out is a pocket edition, a little book about this big, about this thick. And it's New Testament and, well, Psalms isn't technically in the New Testament. You know you got somebody when all of a sudden they got a, well, technically, who's the goof? Don't set yourself up to be the goof. There's more.
He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing.
Younger generation, I'm finding they don't know what the word proselytizing means, so let's just be blunt. All it means is I'm going to tell you about Jesus. That's all it means. And the man did. I'll show that to you. So, Point number four, he wasn't intimidated. Do you think that he didn't know what Mr. Penn thought about the Bible, what he thought about Christians? You can't go to a show and not know. Because during the show, he's very open. It's very mocking. It's just the way that it is. He knew where he stood, but he wasn't intimidated. Why are we? Why am I afraid to go out into this world and to talk to somebody? And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I sat on an airplane coming from Salt Lake City to Honolulu, 6 hours. And I'll be very honest with you. I'm going to be as transparent as I can be. I wish I could tell you that I'm like this big warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a punk. When I get on an airplane, I am honestly hoping that the person that's getting on the air, well, first of all, I hope nobody sits next to me so that I got room. I'm not going to lie. And if they do sit next to me, I hope they get on the plane with headphones on so I don't have to talk to them. I am not good with speaking to people that I don't know. I am not an outgoing person. I'm an introvert. I will hide in a heartbeat. You get crowds of people and there's no ministry involved, you will not see me. When there's ministry involved, I'll give you everything I got. Because I care, but it's not me. Me wants to hide. This man wasn't intimidated. Why am I? They might mock me. They might ridicule me. They might ask me a question that I don't know. Get over it. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and has overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do I really believe that? Do I genuinely, honestly believe that? Because if I do, it would change my whole attitude when I get on that airplane. Man, I can't wait. This person's trapped next to me for 6 hours. I've had to find little tools. This is way off. This is a bunny trail. I've had to find little tools. These are things that I do now. On my phone, I literally have 30-second, 45-second, like crazy clips. Maybe you've seen the one where you had one job to do, and they're playing the symphony, and the dude's on the back, and he hits the drum, boom, boom, and on the third hit, he hits it, and the thing flies out of his hand and hits the lady next to him playing the violin, bang, hits her in the head, she falls over and walks off. Yeah, that's one of the things I have on my phone, because I'll ask the people, have you had a laugh today? What? Because everybody's so grumpy. Have you had a laugh today? Everybody's so serious, man. I got to have a laugh every once in a while. Have you had a laugh today? No. Watch this. Boom. The rooster that crows. Anybody? The rooster that then passes out? Oh, that's awesome. You got to go find that one. It's great. He just crows and crows and crows. Then he passes out. Guess what that does? Now all of a sudden we just start talking. I've had to find things to do that, because I'm not that guy.
And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful.
Hello? I was waiting for the fireworks. I just spent 3 months of my life watching this man. Every fifth to seventh word was profanity. This man gives him a Bible, tells him about Jesus. He's going to blow up. He's going to shatter this dude. He didn't use profanity once in the entire video. I dare you to find another video where he doesn't use profanity. I'd be shocked. It was wonderful. By the way, point number five, did you hear how many what he said? He looked me right in the eye. I tell this to the young people. Mature people, I think we're getting there as well, because these devices that we have, and by the way, I'm not attacking you. Carl has one. Carl's got two computers in his bag and two iPads over there, okay? Confession time. But when I travel, I need to have a backup. If this computer goes down, because I can't speak if I, look, ADD, they did not know what it was when I was a child. If they did, I would not have taken pills. I would have been on an IV drip in a hospital stand. This thing will not turn off. And if you want me to speak without pictures, oh, it will be ugly. I will guarantee, you think I'm on bunny trails right now? Oh no, these are bunny trails with a purpose. When I don't have pictures to keep me on track, it's all over. He looked me right in the eye. You want a powerful tool to reach somebody? Be willing to look them in the eye. Because these devices, what I'm seeing now is that everybody's down here. I see families sitting at a table, not a one of them looking at each other. I see people on a date, and the whole time they're on a date, their face is stuck in a device. It's like, what is wrong with us? We've let these things take over our lives. Look somebody in the eye. I don't know what it is. There's a power there. I don't know why, but there's something about it. Maybe 2 Corinthians 7:4. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort in all our affliction. I'm overflowing with joy. Boldness, man. When you're bold, you can look somebody in the eye. You can do things that you don't want to do. This is not, I don't like this. Standing up in front of you and speaking? Oh, no. I was an air traffic controller in a dark room for 24 and a half years. Nobody saw me. You don't think that this had an impact on this man? Please, watch. You don't think he's thinking?
But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible.
Did you notice how many times he used that phrase, he looked him in the eyes? 3 times. You want a power? There's a power. Maybe Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When you're not ashamed, when you're ashamed, where does your head go? We got nothing to be ashamed of. Pick your head up. Look people in the eyes. Point number 6, he was not defensive. This is personal. 2 Timothy 2:24. This is one of the verses that has helped me with my defensiveness. And the Lord's servant, you see, when I recognize who I am before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, he's not my buddy. Jesus and I, the big J and I, we're not hanging out. It's not like I'm walking down, I got my arm up on his shoulder. Yeah, me and the big J, we're going down to do some poke, right? No. He is my master. My rightful place before the Lord Jesus Christ is on my face in the dirt. We don't like this. Servant, that's a bad word. That's who we are. He's our master. But here's the thing that I don't think I'll ever fully understand this side of heaven. When my rightful place is in the dirt before him, what's he do? He picks us up out of the dirt. He puts us in a robe. He puts a ring on our finger. He calls us his child. Not because of what we've done, not because of what we can do, but because of what he did. But I have to recognize who I am before that holy God. And if he wants me to do something, who do I think I am to say, nah, that's not really my thing? Point number 7, I think we have to care enough to share. I find it easy to talk a good game. I'm not going to lie to you. I find it a whole lot harder to work, live it. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. We have to care enough to share.
This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on. And then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch.
This is why the man had to come back. He had to go home and look up 5 phone numbers. I'm just going to tell you. If you ask me for a phone number, Carl, what's your phone number? 1. Or, yo, call home. I don't want to say the real thing or she'll call home, right? That's my phone number. What's your, yo, call home. That's my phone number. I'm joking, okay? No, I'm not joking about that, but I'm joking about having to go back and come back with the 5 phone numbers. This guy cared. He was polite, he was honest, he was sane, and he cared. 1 Corinthians, 13, 4-8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If I truly love somebody, even if they disagree with me, I can be polite and honest and sane and care. I put it like this. One of the things that I've learned is I better check my motivations. I've become a firm believer that God cares just as much about why we do as to what we do. You can do a lot of good stuff, but if your motivations are impure, your crown is this side of heaven and it's worthless.
I know there's no God.
Sorry, defensive Carl can't let that one go. You know, it's a weird thing. The sound went out. Guess what? Satan doesn't play fair. So you better be ready to go to plan B. So if I got to read it to you, I'm going to read it to you. So you can go on home. Not going to get wound up. Defensive Carl can't let that statement go. Is it true? Is that statement true? Look, Romans 1:20 makes it clear that every person on this planet, I don't care what they say, knows there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God. What we do with that knowledge is what we're going to be held accountable for. And I can prove it to you that he knows there's a God, because watch what he does.
And one polite person living his life right doesn't change that.
One polite person living their life how? Right? Okay, there is no God. We're all just a bunch of random mutations and wiring and all this stuff. So why is it right to be kind and nice and sane and care and be polite? Why is that right? Because you see, everybody knows there's a God. And we know that there is a proper way to treat people. We know that. At our core, we know that. We know that it's wrong to hurt, to lie, to steal. We know that. Why do we know that? Because God has placed it in us. Now, can we turn it off? Can we get it to the point where it's seared? Oh, yeah. But everybody knows it. Point number 9, body of Christ, we have got to become more visible in the culture. Matthew says this in verse 5, 14 to 16, you are light. You're not here to be hid. You're to be put on a hill shining so that people can see. Oh, but there's more. Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. He's still telling you and I to do that. That's why he's placed you somewhere. I don't know where it is, but he's placed you somewhere to go into the world. There's more. John 20:21 says this. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. We're being sent. Each and every one of us are being sent. And then James 1:22 is one that always hits me, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because as I said many times, I find it very easy to hear it. Not so easy to live it.
But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
May I say to you that I'm not here to preach Jesus as a religion. I'm here to preach him as an individual that we can have a relationship with. Is there a religious component to our faith? Yes, we can't deny that. Yes, but it's much more than that. It's a personal relationship. I grew up with stand up, sit down, kneel, offering plate. Look, I grew up with ritual. That's not Jesus Christ. Point number 10. Penn didn't change, so this man failed. I mean, Penn's still a grumpy atheist. So he failed. He wasted a good Gideon Bible. No. This was effective ministry. Pray for immediate conversion, but if that doesn't happen, leave them thinking. I have been convicted of this since I got into ministry. Our job is not to convict or convert. You see, I want the notches on the belt, right? led this many to the Lord. You don't lead anybody to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We don't convict or convert. Do I want to see it happen? Yes, I do. But if I don't see it happen, I want to be obedient. And do you know what we're called to do? We're called to converse. We don't convict or convert. That's the Holy Spirit. We converse. Remember, look up conversation in the 1828 dictionary. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ. The Lord is holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, why do we need to take our responsibility of being a missionary seriously? I wish the audio would play for you because it would be a whole lot more impactful. Let me try one thing just to make sure that something didn't happen on my end. I'm going to, forgive me, but sound, nope, I'm still in black magic. So I wish you could hear this coming from his own lips. But if I have to read it to you, I'll read it to you. I want you to hear why, from an atheist, why we need to take our responsibility of being a missionary seriously. You ready for this? All right, everybody wake up, because I want you to hear this. This is big. You ready? Wake up, stretch. Here we go. This is an atheist.
If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that?
I think this atheist needs to be preaching in every pulpit across our country. How much do you have to hate somebody to not share the gospel? And it gets worse. I wish you could hear this from his lips.
I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that.
We're talking about eternity. So, Carl, maybe you need to quit making excuses about why you won't talk to somebody. I'm not attacking you. First Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes. You know, one of the things that I cut out at the beginning of this talk by mistake ties back into this. Because what happened once they were driven away from the bima, the judgment seat? What happened? Anybody remember the story off the top of your head? What did the Greeks do? They didn't get their pound of flesh from Paul, so what did they do? They went and they got the ruler of the synagogue and brought him in front of the bima and beat him. Anybody remember the name of the ruler of the synagogue that was supposed to get Paul prosecuted but failed, so he ended up getting beaten? Anybody remember the name? Anybody want to venture a guess at what the name was? Sosthenes. How did Sosthenes go from being the persecutor, the prosecutor, to the brother? May I say this to you? When Paul was standing up big and tall in front of the bima, I'll ask you this question. Do you think there were people standing around seeing what was taking place? Do you think that was happening? I need some responses here because I got to make sure you're awake. Yeah? You think that was going on? You think in that audience that was standing around watching going on, do you think there were some believers in there? How do you think those believers responded when they saw Paul didn't say a word? Gallio, shut it down. Get that mess out of here. And they go get Sosthenes and they bring him and they beat him in front of the bima. And the Christians are watching. Did you see that? That's our God. Yeah. Mess with us. Ooh, high five, baby. Ooh, moonwalk. Woo, woo. I can't do it. Or do you think maybe some of those believers, somebody who took a beating, and they came up and they were kind, and they were nice, and they were sane, and they cared. You think maybe Paul, who knew something about taking a beating, may have come up to the persecutor? That's speculation. But I put it to you like this. I do not believe that you'll ever see anybody become a brother through mocking and ridicule. That's not what we're called to do. I'm speaking to myself. I had shaken the dust off my feet. You want a party in hell? But how many times has Christ forgiven me? But by the grace of God. So Heavenly Father, I give that to you and I ask that you would put someone in our path that will challenge us, put us out of our comfort zone. But then, Lord, I got to ask you to be the one that lives in us, because I'm telling you, you know my heart. I just want to hide. I don't like confrontation. I don't like arguments. I don't like that. But that's not what you're calling us to do, Lord. You're just calling us to love people enough to speak the truth with meekness and fear, and then trust you to do what you promise you're going to do. So here we are, Lord. Use us, send us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.